Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Religion would not even be an issue except for the Bible.
Before we get carried away, let's read our Bibles now.
I can assure you there are millions of Christians who did not take parts of the Bible literally.
Forfeit all claims to your own authority. Stand without apology on the only authority that matters, which is the authority of God Himself entrusted to us in His Word.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh boy, the Heavenly Tourism Office is reopened.
I actually died. They had to resuscitate me in an instant. I was above my body and I watched my own friend hold my body in his arms and he was praying. And the closer I got to this light, I knew that I had an appointment.
This is so fascinating. And they would say,
well, if it were true, this is a young man who has reopened the Heavenly Tourism doors because I thought that they had closed for good. If you recall, about 15-ish years ago, Heavenly Tourism, it was all the rage. People taking trips to heaven, coming back to get publishing deals, and inevitably the books had the number of days they visited heaven. It was just ridiculous. One guy even said he spent like 13 days in hell. He comes back. He uses the same theme for the book because they sell squillions. That's right, squillions of copies. Question, why? Why are people so intrigued by these heavenly visits? I should say purported heavenly visits, because we know biblically they didn't go anywhere. Now, their brain might have been synapsing all over the place, but they could not possibly take a trip to heaven and come back to tell us about it authoritatively. Why? Because Jesus said so. John 3:13. Nobody ascends to heaven but he who descended. This is an authority issue. Jesus was putting an exclamation point on his authority. I'm the only one who can tell you what heaven is like. Therefore, anybody who comes along these days and says they've taken a trip to heaven and returned to sell a bunch of books, I don't know what happened to them, but they didn't go to heaven. Now, we're going to make our way through the Fox News interview. And here is the rule as we listen to this young man. If he heard something in heaven that is already written in the Bible, well, then we didn't need his heavenly visit. If he went to heaven and heard something new, then that's extra biblical revelation. So what does that mean? It means that no matter how you slice it, what he is saying simply isn't true. It can't be true. John 3:13 and sufficiency of the Bible. And this is an adding to revelation. And that we know from Revelation 22 is a done deal. So as we listen to this young man named Gabe Poirot, who was in a coma for 18 days and claims to have met Jesus, let's keep those rules in mind. But before we do, Jimmy.
Yes?
Would you be so kind to do a little clickety-clackety there with whatever, the AI or the Google machine?
Okay.
Gabe Poirot. Can we find his church? What can we learn about this fellow? You work on that and we'll listen to Fox News interviewing a young man who went to heaven for 18 days.
Say, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Wow, Jesus is so beautiful. When Jesus looked at me.
Okay, I got to stop. Before Jesus looked at this young man, they're saying, worthy is the Lamb. Yeah, that ain't nothing new. Why did we need this young man to go to heaven to come back and tell us this?
He picked up my face and he said, Gabriel, why are you concerned about that which has been paid for?
Gabe. Why are you concerned about that which is already paid for? Okay. Do we not know that our sins are paid for? Check. So why did we need this revelation? Is Jesus beautiful? We already know he's the altogether lovely one. Why do we need this new information? The answer is we don't.
Pro joins me now. Gabe, it's an unbelievable story. You're in a skateboarding accident. They have to resuscitate you. But what did you see? The accident happens. Your first vision.
Yeah, so it's pretty wild because I was above my own body. And I looked at it and I said, wow, that was me, but that's not me. Because who I am is like fully alive now. And it was just my body. Like that was it.
These seem to be pretty common sort of tales where people hover above their bodies. What is happening here? The answer is ultimately on these deathbed tales. We don't know, but we do know that people don't die and then skedaddle off to heaven and then come back again to write a book about it.
And then I was suctioned up to not just a place. Like, heaven that I was headed for isn't just a destination. Heaven is a person.
Yes, heaven is a person. That is what makes heaven heavenly. Jesus is there. He was suctioned up. How does that compare to the visions of heaven that we do see in the Bible? Isaiah, Paul, who was verboten, he couldn't speak about such things, and John, they had a vision. They did not claim that they actually were somehow suctioned up to heaven and then returned again with a new revelation. They were given a vision. So these are radically different descriptions, a biblical description of what an apostle saw in heaven versus this young man. They're wildly different. He claims to have gone to heaven. They claim to have had a vision. Furthermore, the individuals in the Bible who had these visions, they had some authority. They had the authority of being a prophet. They had the authority of being an apostle. For this young man to say that this actually happened, he would have to be able to verify it with a supernatural work. In other words, he would have to do a sign and wonders, which is the authentication of the message of the messenger. Without that, well, I don't know what happened to this kid. I'm sure he had some sort of experience in his brain. But for him to claim that he went to heaven and now he's coming back to tell us about it. Jimmy, did you find out about this young man?
I did.
All right, give me the down low.
He currently attends Eagle Mountain International Church in Fort Worth, Texas. He also is a graduate of Kenneth Copeland Bible College.
Okay. All righty then. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow. And so you go to the hospital and obviously you're in this coma. We have the x-rays. They'll put them up. But you say heaven is a person. I was very intrigued by that. You said everywhere you turn, you saw Jesus.
Yeah. Like,
I think that's Sadie Robertson. I'm not sure. So I might take that back. I was intrigued that heaven is about Jesus. Yeah. That's why we want to go there to be with our Savior. I don't know why that would be a blast. That's no new information. This isn't extra biblical revelation. And if it were, the dude would need to do some signs and wonders. But actually, he couldn't even do that. Why? Because Revelation 22 says, don't add to this book. The canon is closed.
Like the mountains and the trees, as the wind hits the leaves, they'll blow back and forth and they have a note to them. They'll sing, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. And then the waves and the rivers of the waters of life will receive that same note and they'll sing back, worthy is the Lamb. Even the sand will receive the waves and sing, worthy is the Lamb. Like, you look at the flowers.
Okay, I don't know what that poem was all about.
And the colors in heaven are beyond description. But even as you look at the flowers, you'll say, Jesus, you're beautiful, because he is all of heaven. Like, he's left, right, center, back. There's no escape. Like a soldier free falling into an ocean of liquid love.
Okay, this guy's rehearsed. Like a soldier falling into an ocean of liquid love. Yeah. Will we look at the flowers in heaven on the, it's the new earth, and think Jesus? Yes, that is accurate. That because we're finally going to be thinking rightly. The effects of the fall, they will have been reversed, and our busted thinking will once and for all be righted. So everything that we enjoy, instead of just going, that was a good meal, that was a good cook, good job, honey. No, it's going to be, wow, Jesus makes amazing food. He is so kind to provide this meal for me. That's the attitude we're supposed to have now. That is the attitude that we will have in heaven. This is nothing new, but it's interesting. This young man has obviously memorized some lines, hasn't he?
That was the place I found myself in.
And you actually spoke with Jesus. You know, we speak with him on earth through prayer, but you saw him face to face. You had a conversation. What did he say?
This is going to be interesting. Remember our rule.
Well, I didn't originally see him face to face because my face was down, because I was so concerned that the list of my mistakes was going to be pulled up and I was done for. It was like black.
Hold on. If you're a Christian, which apparently he was because he claims to be a Christian, of the Kenneth Copeland stripe, why would he be worried about his past being dredged up? We already have promises that that is exactly what God won't do.
Right, like I have no hope, right? But he picks up my face, he looks me in the eyes, and he says, Gabriel, why are you concerned about that which is paid for?
That's already news that we know. And an individual who goes to heaven knows that. That's the Christian faith, that our sins are forgiven. This is, all right, so this is getting a little wobbly-er.
And he showed me the wounds in his hands. Not his hands, this was like his wrists. They carried the depth of eternity. And his
okay, this guy's worked it out. Do we not know that he had holes in his wrists and in his feet? Yeah, because first of all, we know that he was crucified. Second of all, there was a doubter named Thomas who requested to see them, including his side. I wonder if this young man got to see his side also. In other words, there is nothing this young man so far has said that is revelatory. It is already information that we have. Therefore, we don't need it. Therefore, there are better books to read. This is Wretched Radio.
Conflict. That's not an if in your life, that's a when. You will most definitely disagree with your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, your in-laws, maybe all of them in the same week. The question is whether those disagreements turn your home into a war zone or something you can actually resolve. That's what our resource Conflict is all about. Todd Friel, who admits he's an expert in conflict, mostly because he's caused so much of it, and Dr. John Street will both challenge you to respond in ways so radically biblical that even the people you've been fighting with will take notice. They'll walk you through biblical reconciliation step by step so you can actually heal what's been broken. If you're exhausted from the same arguments on repeat, if your home feels more like a battlefield than a refuge, there is a better way, and it's not another self-help technique. It is scripture. Conflict is streaming right now on Fortis Plus for free. Just download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Here's a question. Do you think like a Christian, or do you just believe like one? See, a lot of evangelicals have accidentally split their brain in two. Faith goes in one box, logic, science, politics, morality, well, that all goes in another. And then we wonder why Christians sound just like everyone else when we talk about economics, education, or anything outside of Sunday morning. Wretched Worldview endeavors to fix that. Todd Friel and Dr. Owen Strand tackle 22 real-world issues through a biblical lens. Capitalism versus socialism, women in the military, global warming, eugenics, guns, stay-at-home moms, and then they show you what it actually looks like to think Christianly about all of it. And here's the best part. It's not just 22 answers. It's a framework. By the end, you'll have tools to build a biblical worldview on any issue that comes your way. Wretched Worldview. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Just download the app wherever you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Know your reformers. Jan Hus, a Czech priest, was inspired by the writings of John Wycliffe to preach against papal excess and false doctrines such as transubstantiation. Even as he was burned at the stake by the Catholic Church, he continued to preach the gospel and sing the Psalms. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you want to know what heaven is like, the authoritative book has already been written. This is Wretched Radio. Everything that you and I need to know about our eternity has been revealed to us. Therefore, if somebody comes along and says, hey, I got some new download, that's right, some new download because I'm hip and groovy, about heaven, we simply must reject it. Gabe Poirot claims to have left his body, met Jesus, and apparently spent 18 days with him.
Right, but he picks up my face, he looks me in the eyes, and he says, Gabriel, why are you concerned about that which is paid for? And he showed me the wounds in his hands, not his hands, this was like his wrists. They carried the depth of eternity, and his wounds had a name, Gabriel. He did it just for me.
His wounds had a name, Gabriel. He did it just for me. I don't know who wrote this young man's shtick, but it's clearly written. It's not that there's it's heresy being spoken per se. How he's framing it and phrasing it in this kind of poetic language is a little much, but he's not telling us anything new. Now let's keep listening to this young man to see if he says anything wrong.
Like, I was his only one. I'll forever be his only one. He'd waited his entire life just for me.
That's just not right. It's not right. Okay, I could say that there's some truth in that, but I'm just going to say that's not right. Jesus didn't die for one. Jesus died for billions. Jesus died for the world. Jesus didn't just die for this young man. Now, is God's love for the individual that intense? It absolutely is. But this is the, if Jesus had come to die for just one, that would have been enough.
That is the message of Christianity, and it makes me tear up to hear that, because that's what Christ is all about. That's what Christianity is all about. A lot of people ask, why do we incur pain and suffering on this earth? And in your conversation with my friend Abigail, you said people who have lost loved ones, lost babies, they actually are reunited with those babies. You saw that. What did you see?
Now, that's nothing that we don't know, isn't it? Now, let's listen to this young man's detailing.
I tell everyone, they come to me and they say, I lost my kid. I look back at them, I say, you didn't lose your child. Your baby's waiting for you. There's an entire nursery, not just nursery. There's an entire place where all the kids are. And
we don't know that. Okay, so we don't know that. I don't know if that's some sort of limbo. But that's just not in the Bible, that there's a big heavenly nursery and that they're all just gathered there waiting for their parents to finally arrive and come and pick them up.
Waiting for their parents. And it's beautiful. Like nothing is lost. Nothing is broken. And I always tell people, if you're there going through a really tough time on this earth, the story's not over. So don't quit.
And your story was not over. Ginger, a woman of faith, came in and prayed over your body while you were in a coma for 18 days.
Here we go.
I want to play what she had to say. Listen to
this. All right. Before we get to the revival story, the resuscitation story, this apparently, what was her name? The woman's name? And then apparently she has the ability to bring people back from the dead. That too, not biblical. In other words, all of this is malarkey. That's right, malarkey. Specifically, it's Alex malarkey. I knew we were going to be making our way through this interview, so I pulled up Justin Peters from 15 years ago. He was doing a presentation on heavenly tourism. And he retells the story of Alex malarkey. That's his real name, who also wrote a book when he was a child. Do you remember that story? Sold a ton of copies. But did you know the rest of the story?
Speaking of lies, there's another book that was out. It didn't do as well, but have you heard of the book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven? The story of Alex malarkey. You have heard of it? Yeah. Didn't sell as many copies as some of these others, but there for a little while it was very popular. But
you know why it didn't? Because it didn't say how many days he was in heaven. That's the key. Those titles work better.
The gist of the story is that when Alex was 6 years old, he was in a car accident with his father, and his father was not injured not severely or anyway, some bumps and bruises, but no big deal. Alex, though, was injured very severely. Mm-hmm. And as we speak today, Alex is, he's a quadriplegic, and he has to be hooked up to a machine to breathe for him. And barring God just miraculously heals Alex, Alex will never recover, ever. But Alex told this story about how he supposedly went to heaven. Now, again, Alex was a little boy when this happened. He was 6 years old. Well, long story.
Well, the reason that he brings up the detail of the age, Colton Burpo, he was 4 years old when he spent, I don't know, 12 days in heaven. These were children. And what do you know? They both had a dad involved.
For short, about 3 years ago, I get an email, 2 or 3 years ago, I get an email from Beth Malarkey. Beth is Alex's mother. And she reached out to me. She reached out to Phil Johnson at Grace to You. And she said, you know, she said who she was. And she said, these books have been out. They're selling a lot of copies. She said, but the story isn't true. Mm. The story isn't true. And he said, Alex wants people to know that it's not true. And she was trying to get the truth out, but nobody would listen. Her husband, Kevin Malarkey, has been profiting handsomely from the sale of these books. And yet here is little Alex hooked up to a breathing apparatus, will never recover, and he's trying to tell people the truth. In fact, Beth told me in a conversation I had with her, that one day in the hospital, their pastor at the time, the church they were going to, their pastor, just one time came to see Alex in the hospital, even though he's in the hospital for months and months and months. Just one time came to see him. And Alex told him, you've got to tell people the book is not real. You've got to tell people it's not true. And he wouldn't listen to him. They just continued to ride the gravy train.
That's the behind the curtain look into these heavenly tourism books. Why did this young man suddenly feel a burning desire to speak the truth and say, hey, what happened to me was made up. My dad, he told me, and I rehearsed it and I practiced it and we sold a bunch of books. What happened to him? He got saved. That's what happened to him. And his conscience was torturing him. And that is why, for my money, little Alex Malarkey, he's a hero. What a brave young man, being willing to say, I was lying the entire time.
And finally, about 3 months ago, Alex wrote an open letter, and it was posted on the internet. And he came out and he said, this story is not true. And then, boy, it really grabbed the attention of the media. And there for a day or two, from what I understand, it was the lead story, the most popular story on the planet, most popular news item in the world for 1 or 2 days there. And so it finally got out. And
does that mean that people stopped buying the books? No. Does it mean that publisher didn't continue to prop? No. Why? It's a cottage industry, but I think we need to ask another why question. Why do people buy these books? Well, we don't know everybody's heart. We're not Gnostic. We don't claim to be prophets around here who can read minds. I think that there can be people who they just want to know more. They just have, it's like, oh, it'd be just, I'd like a more fleshed out picture of things. That could be. They're not going to get anything accurate. Anything that they hear that is new is not biblical because it's an addition to scripture. And anything that they read that's already been revealed, it's just repackaged. But I think that there's another reason that motivates so many people to want to know more. And that is a lack of satisfaction in what God has revealed in his word. There's plenty there. Study heaven in the Bible. Read Randy Alcorn's book, Heaven. It is magnificent. He's also got a devotional, 50 Days in Heaven. Not like these guys going, you know, 50 days. Is that 50 Days in Heaven? Something like that.
That's it.
It's a devotional. He didn't go there. He opened up his Bible. He studied it. And with a sanctified imagination said, hey, this could look like this. This could be like that. But it was all Bible-based. We have everything that we need to know. That is why when these people go about the business of appearing on Fox News, selling a bunch of books, it's an assault against the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture. That's the big issue. Now, this isn't just, oh, fine, they're telling their tales and so. No, it undermines the Bible. It undermines the authority of Jesus. Why? Because nobody ascends into heaven but he who descended from heaven. In other words, you want to know about heaven? We have got to go to the source, Jesus Christ, and that is everything that we need to know. This is Wretched Radio.